biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Well, as always, welcome back to another Transforming Conversations. This is Greg Hughes along with Pastor Rock. And Pastor, I have another topic, which is the reason for these conversations. And I was listening to a message that you gave or a teaching from 1991. You must have been about 15 at that point.
I think I was 12.
12. Yes.
I started ministry very early.
And you were doing a study in the book of James, actually. And in the first chapter, verses 19 and 20, you taught on. But I want to bring this up again because it was a little fuzzy at listening to that at the time. And it says, out of James 1, 19 and 20, "This you know, my brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Now, when I think of anger, the thing that comes to mind for me is when I get angry, if I'm in the car and somebody cuts me off, or I'm standing in the grocery store line longer than I think I should, or I got the wrong order when I, you know, ordered something through Amazon or whatever, or the kids get on your nerves and you get a little angry. That's the anger that comes to mind when I read this passage. What is the anger that Scripture is talking about that does not achieve the righteousness of God? Do I lose all that when I get angry? Do I forfeit some things that I have to come back and repent of? That's what's a little unclear with this passage.
Okay. Well, you just pray and talk to Jesus, and I'm sure he'll clear it up for you. All right. Let me begin to respond to that and remind the hearers that we don't prepare these in advance. These are...
That's right.
You walk in and ask me a question, and I respond. That's sort of my caveat that says this is not a completely prepared, well-thought-out
right.
response. This is in the moment.
Right.
Well, let me point out, first of all, that God calls us to do the exact opposite of what normally unfolds in a broken world and within the hearts of broken humanity. And here's why I say that. Verse 19 says, "Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." That's the opposite of what we are prone to do.
Exactly.
Because we are prone to be slow to hear, to actually hear what somebody's saying. And we're prone to be quick to speak, which
exactly.
is one of the reasons we don't hear, because as somebody's talking, we aren't listening to them. We're thinking of what we're going to say when they shut up. We're quick to speak, and we're quick to anger.
Right.
So we're slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger. And God says, "I want you to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." And that requires the work of the Holy Spirit in our life.
Absolutely.
To go counterintuitive. But then he says, "For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." When Scripture talks about anger, it essentially talks about, I'll call it, three kinds of anger. It talks frequently about God's anger. God's anger is a holy thing. God's anger is God's love responding to that which is contrary to love in his universe.
Right.
people, how could a loving God be angry? How could a loving God not be angry?
Sure.
A loving God will be angry at the things that destroy his creation, destroy humanity, destroy his image in people, things that devastate lives and birth sorrow and death and sickness and suffering and injustice and oppression. How could a loving God not be angry over those things? So Scripture speaks of the anger of God. But God's anger is righteous, meaning he doesn't get angry out of wounded pride. He gets angry out of principled opposition to everything that is destructive in his universe. Mm. That's the anger of God. And frankly, the anger of God is the grounds for hope, because if we were not convinced that God in his righteous anger will one day bring an end to everything that produces suffering and death and oppression and injustice in this world, we would be without hope. So the anger of God is the foundation of our hope for a better future. So there's the righteous anger of God. Then within human beings, there is righteous anger and unrighteous anger. Righteous anger is when our hearts are angered by those things that anger God, and we're angry over those things for the same reason that God is angry over them.
Right.
Because they bring devastation and deception and suffering and injustice and evil and oppression.
Right.
So righteous anger is anger that is like God's anger. Our anger is over things that should generate anger, and our anger reflects our loving opposition to those things because of the suffering they produce in the world.
Right, right.
Then there is unrighteous human anger. That's anger that grows out of our insecurity.
Mm, right.
Our wounded pride. Our impatience. Our self-centeredness. Our selfishness. Our territorialism. Etc., etc., etc. It's grounded in our brokenness.
Right.
It's grounded in the effects of sin. And its aim is to bring some satisfaction to our feelings of being aggrieved, slighted, taken advantage of, minimalized, etc., etc., etc. It's grounded in those things, and it's meant to somehow express that, vent, and in so doing feel some sense that our disgust, our aggrievement is being dealt with.
Right. Okay? Right.
So, we're standing in a grocery line. You mentioned that one. Been
yeah.
there. And the store is understaffed.
Right.
And the person checking out the people ahead of you is painfully slow.
Yes. Yes.
And there's no bagger, so they're slowly checking out the person and then slowly bagging the groceries. And you look and there are seven lines that aren't manned.
Right.
And you keep looking at your watch and anger rises up within you. Well, that's unrighteous anger. Because the reality is, the undermanned store that adds to your wait time is probably going to cost you maybe 4-5 minutes of time.
Right.
4-5 minutes in a day of 24 hours. And if you would be consistent, you would find yourself wasting far more
right.
than 4 or 5 minutes per day. You could probably find hours a day that are wasted focusing on trivial things that yes. are not necessary.
I'll go home and watch the hockey game for 2.5 hours.
There you go.
Yep.
And so the anger isn't growing out of some injustice.
No.
It's growing out of a brief inconvenience. But if we were to be really consistent in that line of thought, we would find that we are very inconsistent in that area.
Sure.
Somebody cutting us off in traffic. That's a common one. And, okay, maybe there is some righteous anger that somebody put me at risk.
Yeah.
Through their impatience.
Yeah, yeah.
Through their aggressiveness. But if no harm was done, to seethe on that for the next 10 minutes. Give them the one finger salute.
Oh, dear.
Curse them under your breath. That's an unrighteous anger, because what is it? It's your sense of space.
It's my right.
Your place in line.
Right.
It's territorial. You know, it's trivial.
It really is.
In the grand scheme of things, I often marvel people that come flying around you on the right and pull back in and cut you off. And then 3 miles down the road, you pull up next to them at the light. They didn't gain a second.
No.
You know, and to get all bent out of shape at that and many of us do, and I say us, because sometimes I get angry when people do that to me. But it's about them intruding upon our time and our place in line and
sure.
our space. And it's our.
Right.
And it's a response rooted in pride. You cut me off.
That's right.
You acted like I was driving too slow. So that's unrighteous anger. Our anger isn't over things that are contrary to God's work in the universe. And our anger isn't aimed at producing righteousness. It's aimed at venting our own inconsistent self-importance,
right.
pride, anger, and sense of being aggrieved. So those are the kind of three kinds of angers I see in Scripture. God's righteous anger, our righteous anger, and our unrighteous anger.
Right, right.
So when Scripture says, be angry yet without sin, it's saying there are times when anger is appropriate, when it reflects the anger of God, when it's anger over injustice and unrighteousness and,
right.
and all that. But in righteous anger, don't allow your feelings to bleed over into sin. Well, how does anger become sin? When I make it personal, or when I allow it to be the foundation for malice. Malice is wishing harm upon another human being.
Right.
You want something bad to happen to them. Or when you allow your anger to cause you to walk away from people or to attack them with others.
Right.
So there is a righteous anger, but even righteous anger, if we aren't careful, can bleed over into unrighteous expressions. So be angry when it's appropriate,
right?
But don't let it bleed over into sin. All right, now, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. The anger of man is the unrighteous anger, grounded in wounded pride, territorialism, insecurity, fear, right. Yada, yada, yada. The unrighteous anger that arises within our hearts will not achieve. It will not bring about the righteous causes of God in this world.
That's right.
Hey.
That's right.
And that's what James was saying. We're not, as the people of God, we're not going to bring about God's agenda in the world by moving in unrighteous, wounded pride,
right,
anger. Now, I think this scripture is, well, it's always been relevant, but it is so relevant in our current cultural setting. I see Christians get angry over injustices in this world, and there are many of them. But as they seek to address those injustices, in their anger, which is righteous when it's aimed at those things, I hear and see them frequently getting angry at fellow believers who don't fall in lockstep with their crusades.
Right, right.
Judging them, condemning them.
Right.
And assuming a posture of superior righteousness. Making sweeping judgments. Why doesn't, always drives me nuts when people say, why doesn't the church care about such and such? As if everybody in the church but them,
right,
is deficient.
Right.
You know,
right, right.
Why don't Christians speak out against? Well, the question should be, why is it that some Christians don't? Because there are some Christians that arrived at the party before you did.
Right.
Who saw these injustices and have been working to address them before you even stepped into this world. So stop the why don't Christians garbage.
Right. Right.
Because you're acting like the prophet who felt he was the only righteous one left, and God said, dude, get over yourself. There are a whole bunch of people who are faithful to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I see Christians getting righteously angry over injustices, societal injustices, bigotry, prejudice, et cetera, et cetera. But then they let their righteous anger become sinful arrogance.
Right.
They start judging, even though Scripture says, do not judge. They start making sweeping generalizations that are inaccurate, and a sweeping, inaccurate generalization is a lie, and Scripture says we're to speak the truth.
That's right.
They begin to express their own moral superiority when Scripture calls us to be humble.
Hmm.
So they allow their righteous anger to degrade into the anger of man.
That's right. That's right.
And what began as righteous degrades into something unrighteous, and then it doesn't accomplish the righteousness of God.
That's right.
They become effective barriers to the very righteousness they want to produce because they go about it in unrighteousness.
Right.
And so I have said in previous teachings, you don't accomplish God's ends through sinful human means. Now, I remember I said that once that was posted, and some angry Christians responded to that by saying, "Who are you to tell me how I should respond to the injustice I've experienced in life?" Well, my answer to that would have been, because I didn't answer it on Facebook,
yeah,
would have been, "It's not my place to tell you. I'm simply echoing the word of God. It's God's place to tell you what's an appropriate response. And God says, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. You do not accomplish God's means or ends through sinful human means."
That's right. That's right.
So if you see an injustice and in your desire to attack it, which is righteous, you become arrogant, you become condescending, you become judgmental, you become impatient, you become almost hateful, you aren't going to accomplish the righteousness of God because the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God.
That's right.
So you run the risk of much ado that brings about nothing. Mm-hmm. You can have the right end, but if you don't pursue it with the right means, you actually can end up adding to the momentum of evil in the world.
Mm. Yeah, contrary to the righteousness.
Yeah. So that's why I say this teaching is so relevant, because I hear and see believers speaking out against evil in our culture. But in their speaking out, it appears, because only God knows their heart, it appears as if they've allowed themselves to be captured by the anger of man. And again, I say that because their expressions sound judgmental, sweeping, condescending, etc. And it always grieves me, because if they allow themselves to go there, God is on record that the anger of man doesn't achieve the righteousness of God.
That's right.
So God has the right to tell us how to deal with injustice.
Right.
If we've been victims of injustice, God has the right to tell us how we should respond to our victimization. Mm-hmm. And he makes it clear, don't respond to it with the anger of man.
That's right.
Because you don't accomplish God's ends through sinful means. You don't accomplish divine ends through human means. And you don't accomplish holy ends through sinful means. and you don't accomplish the righteousness of God through the anger of man. So I guess I would summarize it this way. When God opens your eyes and you begin to see injustice, that's a great thing. But it also opens you up to new temptations. Specifically, the temptation to pursue justice in an ungodly way. I mean, it's a terrible thing to not even see injustice. It's a terrible thing to not care about injustice. It's an equally terrible thing to see it and care about it and go about addressing it in a sinful fashion.
Right.
If the devil can't poison you one way, he'll attempt to poison you another.
That's right.
If he can't blind you to injustice, he'll try to make you so busy with your own stuff that you don't care about it. If he fails at that, well, then he's happy to have you go about addressing it as long as you do it in an ungodly fashion.
That's right, because he knows it won't produce the righteousness.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
So if he can't get you here, he'll get you there.
That's right.
So we always have to be very cautious about the anger of man in the grocery line, with our children, on the turnpike, on the parkway, yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
But we also need to be careful about the anger of man when we're pursuing holy and righteous ends.
Amen.
And that's the takeaway from that verse that I think generally gets omitted.
Yeah.
I mean, we intuitively know when we get ticked off on the highway that that wasn't a God moment.
Right, right.
What we often fail to overlook is that when we allow the anger of God in our righteous pursuits, that's not a God moment either.
So it's good to take all these thoughts captive in the moment. Just think about it for a second. Relax.
Is this coming from Jesus?
Right. Is this righteous?
Is this originating in the Holy Spirit?
Right.
Or is it originating in impatience, wounded pride, territorialism? Because if that's where it's originating from, I don't want to feed that.
Yeah. Good words. Good words. Well, thank you for spelling that out again.
Thank you.
Very easy to understand. Very
easy to understand, difficult to apply.
But with God's help. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.